The learning tonight has been sponsored by the Feige Mouse. Thank you. In memory of Jackie's mother, Chana Bas Chaim Yisachar Dov. Aleha Shalom. We hope that our learning will be Lila Nishmasa. So I always think, whenever I prepare for this Chabur, I always think about the Gemara in Brachos. It says that Divrei Torah are only Niknes Bi Chabura, that there's certain types of Torah that can only be acquired in a Chabura. I have a lot of wonderful Talmidim in YU and here in Heichal, but this is, I guess, the only Chabura where I feel like I'm really part of a Chabura. It's a special thing. I really feel like, you know, if not for everyone coming together, it would be hard to work on these things by oneself. So I just wanted to give everyone a shkoyach for continuing to come. And hopefully we'll continue as the Rebbe guides us to actually turn some of these ideas into reality. But I was also thinking today, as I was driving to a few different places this afternoon, I was thinking, at the end of the day, the Sefer is only as good as the application. And if you don't do it, this is not like a chiddush of any sort, but if you don't actually try to do what the Rebbe says, it's just, you can't get there. And as unnatural as it sometimes seems to spend the car ride talking to Hashem, as if he's real, because he's real, you know, until we actually immerse ourselves in some of these ideas and don't just learn it as a sefer of ideas, but we learn it as a sefer of halacha, things we practice in our life, it's very, very hard to bring it to life. But again, he's going to try to guide us, and he's been very methodical, step by step, trying to help us to tap into ourselves, is what we're really trying to uncover. So last time we began the concept of using various modes and methods of Isaurus, things that I encounter in my daily life, and to try to redirect it towards Avodas Hashem. I mentioned the story that when Rav Baruch Ber, the Rosh Yeshiva of Kamenitz, was a young man, he once got into some trouble. His parents rebuked him. And he started to cry. And even as a young child, he said in a very deep, profound, and mature way, he said, if I'm crying already, I might as well go down Mincha. He figured, if I have a moment, you know, we spoke about various examples of a person being excited about something or being upset about something. Gave the simple muscle of a person who's driving on the road and the car swerves in your direction. And you swerve, you quickly swerve the other way, and all of a sudden your heart's racing. Okay, so good. So the feelings are there. Now all you have to do is try to redirect those feelings towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because maybe I don't know how to get my heart to race on its own for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe I don't know what it means to create pure feelings of Ahava and pure feelings of Yira towards Hashem. But I certainly have moments of Ahava and Yira in my personal life, so why not direct those moments towards my spiritual connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So let's see. We're on page 23 in the third line. Oz Tes. So says the Rebbe. So I was thinking, why is it that a person's soul is so sleepy? Why is it that most of the times that I daven during the week, they're not memorable tefillos? They're just not. They're simply not. I can't think back what my mincha looked like this past Monday. I can't. If I stop and I really think about it, I can probably figure out where I was, the time of the day I davened, where I davened. Do I remember anything particularly memorable about it? Not necessarily. And again, this is in light of, even with everything going on in Eretz Yisrael, where I'm hopefully a little more aware and I'm a little more anxious and I'm a little more tuned in. And yet, so often, we go through moments of tefillah in a very sleepy state. And he says, I'm trying to understand, why is it that my nefesh is often so sleepy and so tmuna, so concealed? It's Shein HaSolam, it's fast asleep. And we have such a difficult time, right, awakening ourselves to feelings of Kedusha. And he says, the answer is, this is a very simple and very true point that he makes. That our times of tefillah and our times of hisoros often don't interact, they're not intertwined. A person comes last Sunday night to Yeshiva Seichel Torah, and you hear the beautiful Nagurim of Rav Yosef Karduna, and you're very inspired. Right? The problem is, if I don't immediately find a way to channel that towards tefillah, so I have all the warm feelings, but by the next morning I'm get up for shacharis and I'm tired because I was whatever tossing and turning in the night, and now I'm no longer tapped into that intensity that I had b'shas esoris. I heard a beautiful shir, right? So if I can do something with it right away, if I could take that, but sometimes the shiur is not at the same time as mincha. Maybe I caught a mincha at some point in the afternoon on Sunday, and then I go to a shiur, you know, Sunday evening. So my mincha was after running around with my kids in the backyard. Right, I raced in without any mindfulness and I jumped into mincha. If only the time of the hisoros and the time of the tefillah would have been intertwined, and vice versa. Sometimes it's tefillah and I don't have hisoros, sometimes it's hisoros and I don't have the tefillah. Sometimes it's time to daven, but I'm just not, I have to daven now. Now is my chance to daven shachas. And I don't have time to sit for an hour and get myself into a state of hisoros before shachas. But that's a problem. That's why the Mishnah says the Chassidim are showing him how you show in Shachas. They would sit for an hour to get themselves ready to make sure that the Soros and the Tefillah would in fact come together. And at times of Soros, I'm not davening. So I have this again. I have this disconnect. I have very elevated moments, but I'm not able to immediately go to davening a second later. And I have moments of davening, but they're not necessarily coming out of elevated moments. They're coming out of racing out of my house in the morning to get the shachris, hopefully on time. So I have this terrible disconnect between the zmanei hisoros and the zmanei tefillah. The ain zman tefillahs, I have the hisoros, but the tefillah's not now. Lachain murgal nafshal lishon v'lanoach b'timtuma. And therefore, unfortunately, because it's few and far between that I have those Shmona Esrays that are, you know, home runs out of the park. So because of that, my natural state, I've murgal, I've trained my nefesh to be sleepy. I've trained myself to daven Shmona Esray. Someone I heard a Rav say this week in a shir, he said, people finally start to have kavana by shachris, by shir shal yom. And they have to start thinking for the first time that morning, wait, what day is it? Tuesday? It's Wednesday? Thursday? It's like the first time I'm actually thinking during davening. It's funny, but it's also scary because it's a little bit true, and we've all been there before, if not many times. So sometimes, again, because we've trained ourselves to be sleepy, it's hard to have pure thoughts. It just simply is. We're not prepared. And therefore, if anything, even if I am tapped into tefillah, so I end up asking for things that I need. I'm asking in a sincere way, but I'm still only asking in things of this world. Not really tapped into higher worlds. Mayochel, mayishta. I'm thinking about physical matters. I'm thinking Rabbono Sholem, and I might be davening very sincerely, but I'm still trapped in my lower level of requests. Hashem, I could really use a raise at work, then I could do that expansion on my house, right? Or I could pay my tuition, or I could get that new car. Right? But we're not asking for the bigger things that we should be asking for. Lachin amarnu b'zeh eich yo'or es atzmo b'tfila b'tachbulos shonos. So therefore, as we've begun to discuss, we're talking about different tachbulos. Tachbulos means strategies. What are some different strategies that we can actually use in order to have the hisoros for tefillah? That's number one. But like we spoke last week, and now he's going to continue that theme. Yes, I need to have a proper hisoros geared towards tefillah, but I also have to learn, train myself to use any hisoros that I might have, whatever the source may be, happy or sad, whatever it may be, to capture that moment. So lo yazov, it shouldn't be lost, and to direct it towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I told you about that mouse that was running around my apartment once upon a time, and and I channeled those feelings of Yira, right, into Yiras Hashem. I tried to think about Hashem when I was frightened because I heard a noise behind me, thinking that a mouse was sneaking up behind me. But that's okay, says David. That's a very good starting point. Hainu kol min hisoros sheola bekirbo. Any type of hisoros, whatever it is. You hear a song on the radio that you happen to like. You listen to a song that speaks to you, right, and you feel good. So why not immediately redirect that towards the Kaddish Baruch Hu? Again, kol min hisoros sheola bekirbo b'chol hayom. Shelo b'shasa tefillah. Now when you're in your office, when you're in your car, when you're shopping in the supermarket, right? Not b'shasa tefillah v'avoda. Lo yazo v'sal gamkein. Don't lose those moments. Raki shamshena l'mafteach ha-nefesh. Use that as a key to the soul. Why not? You got into a little bit of a scuffle with a coworker, right? You're feeling upset. So why not daven then? Why not say, Hashem, this is frustrating, and I want to talk to you about it? Why not? It's beautiful. As we've explained above, when a person has a business deal that goes well or not, any other physical matter, whether it's heartbreak or whether it's great joy, that's a moment of the soul. emotions are attached to our soul. So when a person has an emotional moment, whatever it may be, that's a moment to expand one's soul. And I have to just find the way to crack out that expression from the outer wrapping of Olam Hazeh. A person needs to learn how to use those moments. When a person has a moment, again, a broken-hearted moment, go off into the corner, go off to the side, and face the wall. Now again, like I said at the beginning, this won't work until you actually do it. Until you actually are in a bad mood about something very mundane, because your favorite team lost a big game, and you go in the corner and you say a few prokem of tehillim. And you're going to feel like a clown, because what do you mean? There's people attacking me in the Eretz Yisrael, and this is what I'm davening over. Because I had a business deal that I worked on and they fell through. There are bigger things in the world. I'm not going to bother Hashem with this. That's a bad attitude. To say this is too small to bother Hashem. They say one of the tzaddikim one time, he was davening, very serious. So one of the chassidim snuck over, they wanted to listen to what the Rebbe was saying. I think it was the Chernobyl Rebbe. And they listened in, and they saw that the Rebbe was saying, Rabbeinu Shalom, my wife has a woman who helps her in the house, and she's thinking about quitting. And I know how much it means to my wife to have this woman to help her in the house. And I'm begging you, Rabbeinu Shalom, change her mind. Don't let her quit. And this chassid was blown away. Rebbe, this is what you're so serious with Rabbeinu Shalom about? He says, if not with Rabbeinu Shalom, then with who? Who else am I going to talk to about this? Why, this is too small of a matter for the Rabbeinu Shalom. Then I don't appreciate what tefillah is. I don't appreciate what my relationship with Hashem is. So when a person's upset about something, or feeling particularly joyous about something, why not take those moments of emotional joy or sadness and channel them towards Kapitel Tehillim? V'yoser tov lomer kapitel shumi inyan amor. Don't just say any random Kapitel Tehillim. Say a Kapitel Tehillim that expresses your feelings in David Melech's beautiful poetic way. That it fits the Ma'or Shalom, that situation. Lufi da'agaso, whatever it is you're worried about. L'mashal, im da'agaso atam in sonov. If a person is concerned about his enemies, so say the capital, say capital hey, my rabu tzarai, rabim come alai. Hashem, I feel that I'm under attack. Why not? Why not talk to Hashem about that? Why not use David Melech's words? Im daiga acheres, a person's upset about something else, why not say capital samachtes, tovati bivein mitzula, Hashem, I'm drowning in the mud. Maybe my yitzhar is getting the better of me. I feel like I'm in the dirt, I'm in the mud. I can't pick myself up. I can't seem to be spiritually motivated the way I'd like to be. Why not say Hashem, Esa inai alahar mi ayin yavo ezri? Hashem, you're the only one who can save me from this mess. Veloshe yavo piso min ashok. And it shouldn't just be that, again, you walk out of the marketplace, wherever your situation is, layidaber diburim below levu below malach. You could say Esa inai alahar mi after every tefillah, but if I don't actually stop and think about Jews suffering in Eretz Yisrael, then what's it really worth? They're not really asking Hashem. Stop, think about what the words mean. I'm turning to you because mi ayin yavo ezri. Is Obama going to save Israel? Is the UN going to save Israel? Who's going to be our ally if not you, Rabbeinu Shalom? Who can I count on to be my friend if not you, Rabbeinu Shalom? So don't say it below lev, below malach. Say it like you mean it. Rakis bonin kodim bedagos. Think about it. Pause for a minute. And yes, it's painful to think about what's bothering me, but think, Hashem, I'm really, really, really bothered by this. I really don't understand this, and I want to talk to you about it. Daigos elu hamonim oso, matzir oso, kol kach harbe. This is really, really getting to me, Rabbeinu Shalom. Vel mi yelech. And who can help me if not you, Rabbeinu Shalom? Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKol Yachol Avarachamon. Take him seriously. Take Avinu Shabbat Shemayim seriously. And therefore I'm coming as a son who has the right to walk into the king. Right? The prince can walk into the king. I'm coming into the king's throne room. In his royal greeting room. I'm standing before you, Hashem. And I'm saying, Hashem, Ma Rabu Tzarai. My pain is very great. My enemies are many. And I'm very frightened. Rabim Omrim Ein Yeshua Sola Belokim. Turn the page. People are saying there's not going to be a salvation. Top of page 24. Kachim Omrim. That's what they say. Aval, what do you say, Rabbeinu Shalom? Then did the pasuk va'ata Hashem magen vadi. But I know that Hashem, you're going to save me, and to really say it like you mean. Va'achas shom resta kapitol tehillim yispalu bepiv b'chol lashon shushomea. And then after you've warmed up with David Melech's words, which are so soul stirring, so then talk in your own words. So Hashem, David Melech has a beautiful way of speaking, but I want to speak to you in my own, in the way that I express myself. And talk to Hashem in your own words. Kifiyah ol al rucha, whatever it is you're really feeling. Try and make a, the best way to do it, honestly, is to make a commitment for X amount of time a day. It can be a tiny amount of time. Maybe it's a car ride from point A to point B, that's a 3 minute ride. Maybe you leave your home at night to go to Daven Ma'ariv or something of the sort. It's 3 minutes. Those are my 3 minutes every day I talk to Hashem. It will feel completely unnatural at first. Right? But once we work on the recognition that Hashem is reality, right? Not that Hashem also exists, but Hashem is the only thing that really exists, and take that seriously and have a conversation with Him, in David HaMelech's words, if I feel more comfortable in a more formal tefillah at first, and then in my own words, and then slowly, min dibur ledibur, min teva leteva, yargish shemochu machshavaso mischazkin v'olim. You'll feel yourself getting stronger in your actual belief in Hashem, and you'll feel yourself, your mind expanding. U'ma'at ma'at hu'ozev et tzarchei gufo. And then my relationship with Hashem is not going to only be about petty things. It's not only going to be that I'm going to call up my Father in heaven when I'm, you know, when I've got a crisis. All right, but I'm going to have a real relationship with Him. We speak on the phone often. And when I have time to cry about, right? Like Rav Baruch Ber said as a kid, if I'm crying already, I might as well go daven. Why not? Ribono Shel Olam. I say to you, Hashem, Karveni Elecha, I want to be close to you. I really do. You probably don't even think I do, Hashem, because of the way I act sometimes, but I really do. Taherosi, please purify me. Hello, see me cold dagos elu. Get me out of these worries that I have. That I could actually be very, very close to you. The lave and nefesh tar in a very sincere and honest way. And after this tefillah, which is coming from, again, a very hurt place, a very dark place on some level, at the end of your tefillah, it's tov shomer chad psuka shel eschazkus. End on a positive note. Don't just end, I have all these enemies, and no one can help me but you, Hashem. End on a positive note. Remind yourself that Hashem roi lo echzar. Remind yourself not just Hashem, I'm coming to you and hear all the problems, but with a confident conclusion. Hashem, you're my shepherd. Everything's going to work out. Lo yira. I don't have anything to really be frightened about. Be mechazik yourself. Why? Ki rabbono shalom ata imadi. Because you're with me. V'achshav yismach al ki Hashem imo. And then walk away from that little corner of your house where you daven this tefillah with a smile on your face because Hashem is with you. Ki ba'emes Hashem imo. Ki ba'emes Hashem imo. When Rav Shimon Schwab was a young man, he spent Shabbos by the Chafetz Chaim. And Chafetz Chaim was an elderly Gadol B'Torah. Chafetz Chaim passed away in 1933. This was not so long before that. And Rav Schwab was a young yeshiva bacher. And in his Mayan Beis HaShoeva, he recounts different things that happened over the course of that Shabbos. Three or four Divrei Torah throughout his Rav Schwab's writings on Chumash, things that happened Shabbos with the Chafetz Chaim. So one of the stories he tells, he says he was sitting with the Chafetz Chaim, and the Chafetz Chaim asked him, he said, tell me, where are you going to be in 5 years from now? Where are you going to be in 10 years from now? Where are you going to be in 100 years from now? The Chafetz Chaim said, where are you now? Right, you're with Hashem. And where are you going to be in 5 years from now? Where are you going to be when you leave this world? You'll still be with Hashem. Where are you going to be in 1 million years from now? You'll still be with Hashem. Right? That's the absolute in your life. To recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with you. Now, I said at the beginning, I'm thankful that we have this chus to learn B'chabura. This chus to B'chabura, I want to share with you. Hashem gave me a thought today that it was kedai to wake up today just to have this insight in the pasuk. What does he say here? Ki ba'emes Hashem imo. Let's think about those words for a second. Right? You should be happy that Hashem is with you because He really is with you. He really is with you. We don't always feel that way. We don't always, right? Maybe we know that way. We don't feel that way. I don't always feel Hashem by my side. I don't always feel Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samit. I don't feel necessarily that I'm always walking with Hashem. Right? But that's the reality. Hashem is actually with you. All right, you're just in time for a great part. Ready for this? Listen to this. What do we say in Ashrei? What do we say in Ashrei? When is Hashem with you? When is Hashem really with you? Karav Hashem l'chol karav l'chol asher yikru'u b'emes. Hashem is, right, when a person calls Karav Hashem l'chol karav, Hashem is close to those who call Him. And then, David Melech says, but there's a qualification here. L'chol asher yikru'u b'emes, you have to call out to Hashem b'emes. If you don't really talk to Him, then that's Pashup Shad of the Pasuk. Ready for this? It's Kavlad. So excited to share this. Karav Hashem l'chol karav is my Chassidish Pshat. Karav Hashem l'chol karav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to anyone who calls him. L'chol Asher Yikru. Hashem is close to anyone who calls him. You know what Be'emes means? Be'emes is saying Be'emes. Be'emes, he really is. Be'emes, he's really close to you. Karav Hashem L'chol Karav. Nah, he's not really. L'chol Asher Yikru. To anyone who calls him, yes, Be'emes. Like the B'ezer is saying here, Be'emes. That part's talking, you have to believe it. It's not that the quality of your call to him has to be emistic. Yeah, you hear it right now.
Yeah.
Oh, you're smiling. Now you hear it. Until you smile, you don't hear it. Someone once told me that in KBY, Rav Goldrich, the late Rosh Yeshiva of KBY, used to give a shir klali. So he was giving a shir on time in Hebrew, and he said over what he thought was a beautiful chiddush, and he said, I'm going to say it again. He said the whole thing again. He said, no one understands me. I'm going to say it again. So I said to the Rebbe, why do you think we don't understand? He says, because no one's smiling. If no one's smiling, that means you don't understand. This part's too good not to smile. Karuv Hashem l'chol karav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to anyone who calls him. L'chol l'sher yikru. Really? Hashem, you're close to me? Yes, Be'emes. Be'emes, Hashem really is close to you.
The second... What
is that? But that's what he's saying. Be'emes Hashem imo. Yeah, believe it. That's what the Chofetz Chaim was saying to Rav Schwab. That's the only constant in your life. Anything else I can't guarantee. The one thing I can guarantee is that before you came to this world, you're with Hashem. Right now, you're with Hashem. And forever, you're going to be with Hashem. How much you choose to recognize that He's with you, that's up to you. But the emes, the reality is that Karav Hashem the whole Karav. The whole Hashem crew. Really? Yes, Be'emes. Be'emes is true. What I'm telling you is true, says David HaMelech.
It has to be that way because everything else we read, all the filters we put on. Mm-hmm. You don't even know what the truth is.
Right.
When we're calling out,
we have to assume.
I'm saying, wait.
Correct.
I can't be right. You're so trapped within all the different mechanisms
right.
for yourself. How do you even know what the truth
right.
is?
We can't even trust it. We can't trust ourselves. Until we clean up, like the PSS Service is teaching us, until we reboot the system, we can't trust ourselves. We need David HaMelech to tell us. Call out to Hashem. Hashem's going to be close to me, yes. L'chol Asher Yikru. Anyone who calls him, David says, yes, Be'emes. I'm David HaMelech and I'm telling you, yes, this is true. I'm the P.S.S. Rebbe and I'm telling you it's true. I'm the Chofetz Chaim and I'm saying to Rav Schwab, this is true. Nope. So unless we feel that we're more expert in the area of, you know, in the topic of God than Rav Schwab and Chofetz Chaim and the P.S.S. Rebbe and David HaMelech, then I think we should take their words. We came to the experts to get their sagely advice, and we got their advice. And specifically at this moment, Hashem is with you even if you're not talking to Him. All the more so when you're talking to Him. Then really, Be'emes, He's really with you. When a person's talking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem gives you full attention. Hashem's not busy. Like a parent maybe sometimes trying to respond to multiple children. Right? Or a teacher trying to deal with multiple students, or a person trying to deal with multiple clients who all want his attention at the same time. Right? And he can't be fully focused on each and every one of them. Hashem says, you want to talk to me? I'll give you full, undivided attention. And you'll see, if you actually do this, you will experience a tremendous spiritual delight. You'll feel so cleansed by it. What could be compared to such a pleasure? To know that I really engaged Hashem today. Sometimes when I start to daven Shmoneh Esrei, once in a while when I'm really like good, it's gonna sound funny, but like I think in my mind I say, Hashem, hi, how are you? Before I just start, you know, spitting out, you know, Hashem, Tachlanu, Re'ei, Refa'inu, Baruch Aleinu, Tka B'Shofar. I feel like Hashem by the end wants to say to me, Moshe, hi, how are you? Like you're just going, like say hello, let's acknowledge each other. Let's talk a little. Don't just run in, grab a sitter, say the words, and leave. Right? Say hello, be a mensch, talk to me like I actually matter. And again, a person who has that experience of talking to Hashem is the sweetest, most desirable pleasure in the world. So this is how we come to Hashem, he said, particularly through the difficult times. When I feel surrounded by enemies, I say kapitel hai. When I feel like I'm drowning, I say, Hashem, take me out of the yavein metzula, take me out of the mirth, out of the mud, out of the dirt. The same thing is true for happy times. Absolutely. Turn your happy times, channel your happy times towards Hashem. Second paragraph on page 24. magish bekirbo simcha. Af im hi simcha min Yeshua gufnis lo yazov es shasa kosher shall nitzot his galus nafshi. When a person has a simcha, even if it's a simcha gufnis, a person got a good deal, made some money, he's feeling good, that's a moment of revelation, of spiritual revelation. Channel it. Yamod bezavis v'yomer ezer kapitel tilim. You have a good mundane moment over the course of your day, pause for a moment, grab your pocket tilim, and go say some tilim. Now he says here, in parentheses, tov shalo laharbos ata betilim. Don't say too much. Don't get carried away with this. Right? Too much tilim is going to, again, just become saying it by rote. So I'm not sure. He's not right. I was trying to think about that before. Is that specifically in the happy times you don't need, because tilim is really more for the broken times? David HaMelech was writing it from a place of more of, you know, the brokenness of David HaMelech, the struggles of David HaMelech. I'm not sure.
Maybe it's easier to focus on the more difficult times.
Okay, that could be. Right, in the happy times, right. Halavai should be able to even get a little something sincere. Okay, I hear.
Or maybe this is he's trying to make the statement. This is just, if you're going to say too much, it's a big break in your day. He's saying, this isn't a big break.
Right, it doesn't
have to be. Your day. You just take a minute, just take 2 minutes. Maybe he's saying, don't say too much, because then it's all of a sudden, then it's going to become
a formalized tefillah.
Tefillah, and you can't do that
right.
All the time.
Let it be a minute here, a minute there. Right, don't try to make too much of a seder out of it. Don't be such an organized thing. Grab say a little something, one kapitel. Come on, kapitel yirches. Hashem, you're machazik me. Tzuri echsebo. You're my rock, you're my strength. Magini, karen yeshi, miskavi. Okay. You know better than I do, I don't know. Okay. Alright, but say part, whatever it is. Whatever it is. Alright, but each person should pick, the point is you should pick something that speaks to you. Okay. Okay. We need to start saying more to him. Unless we don't know that Yechas is a long kapitel. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. There you go.
Maybe that's why he's saying only say that.
Right.
People are reading it the wrong way.
Maybe the Rebbe's telling you what his standard, you know, what we consider like long. For him, it's like, what do you mean? Just say your best. Okay, good. But there's many lashonos of tremendous chizuk, right? That's why he picks it. But again, pick whatever speaks to you. And again, if you want to go straight to talking to Hashem yourself, that's fine. I don't think he's saying you have to start with David HaMelech. There's something very nice about starting with David HaMelech. And with Ruach HaKodesh. When he's finished whatever amount of tilling you're saying, you should say the following in your own words again. You don't have to pull out your B'nai Machshav Tova and, you know, say what the Jesus Mary said. He's just giving us an example. Thank you, Hashem, for watching over me. Thank you for making this good thing happen for me. I felt such an achrayus today. I don't know that I captured it. I still have to dive a marav, so I still have another chance. But I felt such an achrayus when I read the news reports this morning about what happened in Ramat Beis Shemesh and how those crazy guys tried to get onto a school bus. And you think about Rahmanel, you don't think about it. You don't want to think about Rahmanel. So what could have happened if, God forbid, a couple of terrorists with knives got onto a bus full of kids? Right? And very often you read the things that don't happen and it's just like Baruch Hashem and you go on. But I felt a real achrayus this morning, and again, I don't know that I captured it, that when I said modim this morning, I was thinking, Hashem, I have to really say thank you today. Even though, you know, Baruch Hashem, I don't even know what I'm saying thank you for because nothing happened. But when I think about what could have happened, when I think about how many times, you know, that's what they say, Chassam Sofer and others have the explanation, when we sang in Hallel, right, that we thank Hashem, Halu as Hashem kol Goyim. What do you mean, Halu as Hashem kol Goyim? Why should the Goyim thank Hashem? The Goyim are thanking Hashem because they know what they really wanted to do to us. They know how many terrorist plots Baruch Hashem foiled in ridiculous ways. In ways that, unbeknownst to us, even to many of the soldiers who, you know, who tried to stop him in those moments. Right? And why the terrorist changed his mind at the last minute and ended up taking a different route and he walks right into a few IDF soldiers and they shoot him down right away. But Rahman al-Hassan, who knows what he could have done. Right? So we have to thank Hashem for the good things that we know about. We have to thank Hashem for the good things we don't know about. And we have to say, Rabbona Sholem, I'm so thankful for the chesed that you've done for me. You're looking out for me many times I don't even realize. I don't even know what you're doing for me half the time. But Oza Libra Chamecha Rabbim. Think about how many times you've saved me, Rabbona Shalom. How many times you've renegotiated the deal. I remember one time when my wife and I were first somewhat newly married. We only had our oldest, Gabriella, at the time. My wife has particularly not great vision. She has very, very custom-made contact lenses. And my daughter went into the bathroom, and she opened up one morning, she opened up my wife's contact case, and spilled it over, and the contacts went down the drain. And so that was literally a couple hundred bucks down the drain. I remember thinking, like, oh, bonjour, come on. You know? Like, that's so like, did that really need to happen? And I remember we lived in the apartments in Terrace Circle. I was teaching at TABC at the time. It was the greatest commute in the world, about 30 seconds by foot. And I remember I was crossing the street that day, and nothing happened. But for some reason, Hashem put this idea, and I have a car to tell that Hashem helped me to think in a more mature way. As I was crossing the street, it wasn't a dangerous situation. I just remember I was crossing the street, and as I was crossing, I was thinking to myself, I wonder if maybe I was supposed to get hit by a car today, God forbid. And imagine if Hashem, for whatever reason, last night, let's say I davened the Gemara, and Hashem says, you know what, Moshe Tzvi, something more serious is supposed to happen to you. And I decided to lower the penalty. Right? From a broken leg, God forbid, to a pair of contact lenses down the drain. It's still significant, but it's much less than what you're supposed to get. But you're just complaining. All you're saying, why'd you do this to me? So next time I won't intervene, I'll just let whatever's supposed to happen to you happen to you. Right? There's so many times, and it was the first time I ever thought of that concept, right, that sometimes even when something bad happens, maybe something worse was supposed to happen, maybe this actually is a reward. That somehow Hashem renegotiated. Hashem says, really you deserve worse, but because I love you so much, I'm going to go easy on you this time. And we're just complaining, Hashem, why even this? Right? So we don't know Hashem's cheshbonos.
And that's where we keep it.
This is actually good. Exactly. But again, to be able to pause throughout the day and say, you know what, Hashem, you did really good things for me today. Some things I know about, some things I don't know about. But to really to talk about it in a sincere and real conversational way. You're always guiding me. When I thought that I had that job offer and I fell through and I was so disappointed, I got that other job and it worked out so much better. Hashem, only you knew that plan. Right? And sometimes it worked out in the way that I thought was bad, but in the end, you'll show us how it was all good. Right now, I might still be hurting tremendously, but you have a plan. I don't know the answers, but I'm mature enough to thank you that I know that you have a plan. And now in this particular case, where again this is the person who had a good experience, you particularly provided for me in this situation, then you start to feel again this elevated state, as we explained above, I've channeled again a very mundane moment into Simcha Bashem. Concludes the P.S. at the bottom of page 24. Every sigh, every cry, every krechs, make it into something. Don't just let it be a moment of frustration or a flat tire. A flat tire is a great opportunity to have a conversation with the creator of the universe about anything, or even about that flat tire. To say I'm frustrated by this flat tire. Maybe I deserve it. You're my father and I need someone to complain to, so I'm complaining to Hashem. Can you ask him to fix it? Why not? But you never know. The Baal Shem Tov, there's a story the Kamarna Rebbe brings in his Pirkei Avos in the Notes of Chesed. He says one time the Baal Shem Tov was walking with the Talmud. He wanted to teach him how Shkocha Pratis works. So he's walking with his Talmud and the Talmud says, I'm so thirsty. Don't worry, Hashem's going to provide. We're in the middle of nowhere. Hashem's not, what do you mean? I'm so thirsty. We gotta take charge of the situation. You have a belief in a Rosh Hashanah? You believe in a Shkocha Pratit? Yeah, Rebbe, I believe, but you believe or not? I believe. Hashem's gonna provide. All of a sudden, a non-Jewish fellow comes by, and he's got these two buckets of water. So the Bashan says to him, where are you going? He says, where am I going? I don't even know where I'm going. The king woke up this morning. He has this crazy bug in his head. He's asking all these weird things for me. He said, I want you to go to the well, and I want you to bring back double the amount of water they usually bring. I said, yeah, but you don't need double. He said, I want double the water today. So he said, I have all this extra water. Take some of the water. So Bashan says, see, look. Hashem created that this person would be here at this time just for you because you're saying you're thirsty. So do you believe or not? Is it possible that Hashem... Listen, we have to operate with intent. Is Hashem going to send the malach every time? You're going to close your eyes and say, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, make my tire better. You open your eyes and the tire is better. If a person on such a madrega, then maybe. I don't think any of us are quite there yet. I would assume. Maybe that's chutzpah for me to assume, but I think it's a safe bet. But that's it's possible. And at the very least, I can still talk to you about it. Hashem, at least make it that, you know, when I take my car to the shop, that I don't get ripped off. That's also a good conversation to have. that the mechanic's not going to take advantage of me. The car mechanic's not going to take advantage of me. And again, when a person talks to Hashem in this way, then every cry, every krechs, every anacha, every, right, literally sigh, hayotzis mimenu, afilu min anacha pshuta katana v'kala gufnis, you're walking, you're rounding the corner in your home, you stub your toe, right, you let out a cry, quickly grab control of that moment and do something with it. Right? Say, Hashem, look, I'm crying over the base of Mekdash. You're not crying over the base of Mekdash, you're crying over your stub of your toe. And it really hurts. So there's a tear rolling down the side of your face. Hashem, I want to give this tear to you. It seems fake, but it's not. It's a way to start redirecting ourselves towards spirituality. It's an amazing technique. Yacholifol his galus gedola benefesh with a karva al yado el kadosh baruch. Doma ha nefesh al makor mayim shenistam. Now look at this. There's certain tzaddikim that just have a way with words. Of Cook obviously had a way with words. The Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish has his own style of Hebrew. You read the Chazon Ish, his letters, you read as Amunam Bitachon. Very beautiful, novel, poetic style. Very difficult style to read. Pizas the Rebbe also. Look at this beautiful poetic description he has here. And he's trying, again, he was a master of imagery. Look how he describes here, three lines from the bottom. Domeha Nefesh al Makur Mayim Shinistam. Imagine the purest, the finest, the sweetest waters, right? Trapped, sealed, Nistam, sealed. In a makor, in its source, in its water source. Asher tzvichim lechapis oso lachbor chorum estokim elo. And now you, the dedicated Jew, who knows ein mayim el Torah, and I want to taste the best water that Hashem has to offer. I'm going to lechapis, I'm going to search. I'm going to search for that water source. And I'm going to dig. And I'm going to punch holes in any of the lev ha'evin until my lev turns into a lev basar, like the Navi describes, the softening of the heart. Niftach, and if I could just find a way to crack through this rock and get the water flowing, get the diburim flowing, get the conversations with Hashem flowing, I'll be able, Lahashko says, kol sadoso, all of my fields, anything that I need. I'll feel that I'm positioning myself spiritually in the right way to get what I need. Even my friends, I'll be able to assist. I'll be able to teach others what it means to really have a relationship with Hashem. V'chutz mizeh concludes the P.S.S. to Rebbe, the final paragraph, top of page 25. V'chutz mizeh, shetvilos v'ezrachvos ha'esragshuyos halal. These tefillos and this expansion of the soul and these emotional moments, bichlal, they're a good thing. Hey, alolu ba'atzman tovosein. They're ba'atzim, a good thing. To be an emotional person, a spiritually emotional person, is a good thing. That's a good state of being. A navi would sing songs in order to get into a state of nevuah. Would sing songs and would dance to get into a state of nevuah. So it can't just be that, right, that only people who are more, you know, chassidically inclined are going to be into song and are going to be into the more emotional side of the soul. That has a legitimate place in Yiddishkeit. It's not only for some people. To be an emotional person, again, on different degrees. The Kotzker Rebbe was intensely emotional, but it didn't show at all. The Kotzker Rebbe, right? Some people, when they daven, they shuckle like crazy. Some people, they stand perfectly still, but you can see that there's a fire raging inside of them. That was the Kotzker Rebbe. As opposed to Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditcher was literally jumping around the room. So different tzaddikim, each person in their own way. But to be a person who's emotionally connected is very chashuv. That's a good thing, says the P.S.S. Rebbe. Umine mikvos metaros as nefesh ha-yisrael. When you put yourself into a Shmona Esrei, and you really immerse yourself in it, it becomes a form of mikvah. He says, mine mikvos, a form of mikvah that purifies the Jewish soul. Mikol taiva zuamahin. You daven a good. If you have a really good davening, you walk out, you feel refreshed. You have a bad davening, you feel heavy. You feel heavier than when you walked in. Umekarvos asal Hashem. You took a dip in the purifying waters of Torah of Tefillah. You feel good. You walk out energized. Malagam zo lahem she'ina menichos esenefesh lirdom tardemas atzela. To walk out and to feel that I'm not falling asleep, that I'm not allowing the laziness, the natural state of heaviness, of laziness, the his alfusa, the spirit of fainting, where a person feels faint, that I don't have what it takes. Rather, train yourself, margilos heina sanefesh lesgalos, train your soul to be in a more spiritually revealed state, velaleches, and to go along that path, v'shteyan mischazkos ha'islavos v'machshavos. And then, as we've been trying to explain all along, the combination of creating moments of passion and moments of mindfulness both of them will be elevated, both of them will be reaching new heights, and then a person will be able to what? To awaken his soul at all times, to have those warm moments at all times, not only when my car nearly swerved off the road and now my heart's beating, but now I've trained myself, now I know what it feels. The starting point was my car nearly swerving off the road, but I immediately captured that feeling and channeled it towards Hashem, and over time it starts to add up. I've spent moments of my life with a heart beating for Hashem, and then you know what, maybe I can actually make my heart beat for Hashem, not with any cheap way, you know, backdoor kind of way of making it beat for Hashem, not to only be happy with Hashem because I'm really happy about something physical, but you know what, I'll give you a little hand in it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But now I've experienced more moments of happiness for Hashem, more moments of fear towards Hashem, and then I'm able to tap into that. He says, "B'chol yisro, b'chol sham." All right, halavai should be zochet to continue to work through it and to take these words to heart. Okay, shkayach, good shabbos, everyone.